This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 20th of December 2019. Hello, and welcome to the last Winchester and District Talking Newspaper of 2019, with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 20th of December, which this week have been edited by Sonia Phillips, Jane Pickard, and Sheila Shepherd. And the opening music was For All Mankind by Her Majesty's Royal Marines Portsmouth Band. And your readers today are Heather Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
And Jane Harding.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Roy Faithful. Now, the main headlines this week are bid to cut city traffic, Brine retains seat but with slashed majority, famous faces at festive concert. So, may we have the story behind the first headline, please, Heather?
Bid to cut city traffic. Motorists driving into the heart of Winchester could have less choice in car parking, but pay more for the privilege, as council bosses try to improve the district's climate and reduce the number of vehicles in the city centre. Winchester City Council is set to present its parking and access strategy to Cabinet members on Monday, with a raft of options to tackle the problem of parking, not only within the centre but also in its towns and villages. The changes are part of the authority's plan to cut the district's carbon footprint and get more people using eco-friendly transport, cycling and walking. Councillor Martin Todd, Cabinet Member for Service Quality and Transformation, said, "We want people to be accessing Winchester. Ideally, we want to be cutting car traffic in the city while not cutting the number of people who are using the city. We're looking at the encouraging people, incentivising people to use buses and use park and rides." As reported in the Chronicle, the council has also mooted the idea of introducing parking charges for Sundays and evenings. Councillor Todd said that this money would be put back into evening buses, potentially increasing the park and ride timetable. "We want people to have good opportunities to get into the heart of Winchester, whether it is walking or park and ride or on foot." It comes as civic chiefs admit that the supply of spaces has reduced in recent years, but the authority has said that extra park and ride capacity has been provided. However, further reductions in central car parks such as Upper and Middlebrook Street and Gladstone Street are in the pipeline over the next few years in relation to development proposals. But the axing of car parking space is not likely to end with new developments. As the council says in its draft consultation documents, more could be closed as it gets more clarity over the provision of additional park and ride services and spaces and the impact of other measures to encourage alternative methods of accessing the centre. Councillor Todd continued, "We hope that council parking can be available for tourists, shoppers and people who want to come in and use town centres." He insisted that despite changes to parking, the council wants to continue supporting local businesses, but do so in a way that is better for the environment. The council insists that Blue Badge parking will be protected to ensure convenient and central parking for disability groups. The consultation is set to go out to the public at the end of December and reported back to Cabinet in the spring.
Let's have the second headline story, please, Noel.
Brian retained seat but with slashed majority. The Liberal Democrats came close to snatching Winchester and Chandler's Ford in what would have been a stunning victory. Steve Brine held the seat, but his majority of 9,999 from 2017 was slashed to less than 1,000 by the Liberal Democrats' Paula Ferguson. As the bundles of votes piled up on tables in the centre of the sports hall at River Park Leisure Centre in Winchester, the two candidates appeared to be neck and neck before the Conservatives edged away to win by 985 votes. Had either UKIP or Brexit fielded a candidate, then Mr. Brine, a former health minister, may well have lost the seat he has held since 2010. Strong factors in his favour that stemmed the drift to the Lib Dems were his 10-year incumbency and the fact that he voted Remain in the 2016 referendum and lost his party whip after voting against the Boris Johnson Brexit deal. Mr. Brine polled 28,430 votes compared to Ms. Ferguson's 27,445. Labour's George Baker got just 2,723, and Theresa Skelton of the Justice and Anti-Corruption Party garnered 292. Mr. Brine's 48% share of the vote was 4% down on the 52% last time. Ms. Ferguson's share was 47% up from the 34.5% of Jackie Porter in 2017. The Labour share of the vote was squeezed by both main parties and collapsed from 10.5% to just 5%. The Lib Dems nearly completed a swing of 7%. Winchester has been a solidly Tory seat since 1950, except for the Margoton era of 1997 to 2010. It's now a marginal. The Lib Dems fought a strong campaign in what was one of their main target seats, and focused on their opposition to the UK leaving the European Union. They managed to lure remaining voters, Tories, into their camp that outweighed any move by Brexit-voting Labour supporters to the Conservatives. The Greens had stood down so as not to undermine the Lib Dem campaign. A tired-looking Mr. Brine, who has campaigned whilst his father has been desperately ill, dedicated the win to his dad. "It's not a battle he's going to win, but now this campaign is over, I might get to spend more time with him." He said he would go into next Parliament as a One Nation Tory. "I'm sorry Joe Swinson, the Lib Dem leader, lost. I know Joe and she's one of the moderates. I want the next Parliament to be a moderates Parliament, taking back control. It needs to last and be a strong and stable government." Ms. Ferguson, only elected to the City Council in May, said it's been exciting, thrilling, like being on a roller coaster, particularly the last few weeks when it was so close. "We did not know if we were going to win or lose narrowly. The fact of taking 9,000 of a majority is a great achievement." Theresa Skelton of the Justice and Anti-Corruption Party doubled her vote from 2017.
And Jane's going to read the third headline story.
And that is very alliteratively, Cathedral Christmas Concert 2019, Famous Faces at Festive Concert. And the cathedral was alive with the sound of music as hundreds gathered for this year's carol concert. TV star Hugh Dennis and South Today's Sally Taylor joined the Dean of Winchester, the Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, for the festive event. Hugh offered amusing observations on the ups and downs of family life at Christmas time, while Sally joined the cathedral choir for performances of traditional carols. The Very Reverend Catherine Ogle said, "The Cathedral Christmas Concert offers a panoply of stars to delight and to entertain us with the joyful spirit of Christmas. The concert is a very important fundraising event for the cathedral choir, so thank you for your support." Details of all events for Christmas 2019 are available at the Cathedral website, www.winchester-cathedral.org.uk. And this is thankfully surrounded by a selection of the most beautiful photographs inside the cathedral. Three of them show the young cathedral choir with all the young boys and now young girls in their long red gowns with gold chains round their necks, looking very happy and singing in a very joyous way against the backdrop of the wonderfully lit cathedral background. And one of them is coming from above the choir and looking back down the nave of the cathedral to the huge crowd watching this young group. Again, all beautifully lit. And, of course, there's one of the Christmas tree sparkling with all its twinkling lights at the back of the cathedral looking towards the choir. And then, of course, there's a photograph of Sally Taylor, who used to live in Winchester, which is why she, near the cathedral, actually, I seem to remember, which is why she is, still has many links with the city. And Hugh Dennis, with the Dean of Winchester, because Hugh Dennis's father also was a bishop, and he, I believe, now lives in Winchester, which is why we're lucky enough to get Hugh Dennis here.
And that concludes the headline stories. We'll continue with death notices and Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, your say, historical items, question and answer my Winchester, editorial comment, first person and Belgarum diary. And we'll end with items of general news. And I'll start with the death notices. Close. Vivian Elizabeth Close, peacefully in Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 87. Edmund, Nigel Edmund, peacefully at home with his family, aged 59. Edwards, Maddie Edwards, at home, aged 51. Gig, Elsie May, known as May Gig, peacefully at the Countess Mountbatten Hospice, West End. Haynes, Gordon Haynes, after a long suffering illness, peacefully at home. Herridge, Alice Eleanor Herridge, aged 73, and that was at home. Kemp, David Roy Kemp, at Basingstoke Hospital, aged 68. And finally, Lewis, Howard Peter Lewis, aged 72. Now, Jane's got a Christian comment.
And Christian comment is, the word is Jesus for this year. Did you know that there is a word of the year for each year? I came across this fact when trying to find something else on my phone, and intrigued by this, I followed it up. The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary Word of the Year for 2019 is they. It reflects a surprising fact. Even a basic term, a personal pronoun, can rise to the top. It is apparently measured by the number of times people look up the word. Words that are looked up are often driven by events in the news, but it is also a primary resource about language itself, and the shifting use of they has been the subject of increasing study in recent years. Its use increased by 313% during 2019. The English language lacks a gender-neutral singular pronoun to correspond with words like everyone, and as a consequence, they has been used for this purpose for over 600 years. More recently, they has also been used to refer to one person whose gender identity is not known. In the past, he or she would have been used, but now, with the increase in awareness of gender identity, this is no longer appropriate. The Oxford Dictionaries, on the other hand, has declared climate emergency as the word of the year for 2019. This year, there have been spiralling concerns about the consequences of global warming. The number of times climate emergency has been used was 100 times its previous use in 2018. So what you may be thinking has all this to do with Christian comment. Will both gender identity and climate emergency are both relevant topics for Christians to concern themselves. However, in this Advent season, the week before Christmas, the celebration of Christ's birth, there is another word I think we should concern ourselves with. On Christmas Day, the Gospel reading set is the prologue to John's Gospel. In this passage, we read of the Word made flesh coming to live among us. The term word is used in different ways in the Bible. In the New Testament, there are two words translated word, hema and logos. They have slightly different meanings. Rhema usually means the spoken word, as in conversation. Logos, however, has a broader, more philosophical meaning. Thus is the term used in John 1. It usually implies a total message, and is used mostly in reference to the human race. The word logos in John is referring to Jesus. Jesus is the total message, everything God wants to communicate. The message, Jesus, is for all people as individuals, regardless of gender, and for the whole of creation. Jesus, the Word, is the Word for this year and for all eternity. And that was for Rosemary A. Baker.
We'll continue with letters to the editor. If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by telephoning 01962 860 836. You can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you can write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238AL. Now, there are 12 letters this week, and we'll start with one read by Heather.
Alan Parry Jones writes about hospital care. Having recently spent 8 days in McGill Ward in the Royal Hampshire County Hospital here in Winchester, I feel the need to comment on the quality of care provided by our health service, despite all the privations that we have been hearing so much about, particularly during the electioneering banter. From the moment that I was admitted, quite late in the evening, to the time I was discharged, I was treated with respect and professionalism. The staff on duty in the ward doing 12-hour day or night shifts were unfailingly attentive, cheerful and willing. Nothing seemed to be too much trouble, despite a ward full of disparate and challenging demands from its elderly patients. I eventually left feeling nothing but gratitude for the care I had received. Of course, the National Health Service needs billions more spent on it, and the first of those billions should be targeted at the salaries of the nursing staff to reward their efforts, to urge them to stay with it and encourage others to join the profession.
Noel, for the second letter.
Yes, Eric Olson has a request for information. Sir, last week we visited the Christmas market at the cathedral. Unable to negotiate the metal steps into one section, I indulged my historic interest while my wife shopped in that area. I pondered the blackened underside of several cloister arches, then purchased a bratwurst roll, very good, for the cerebral replenishment, before returning to study the masonry. There are chipped recesses in the stonework of the supporting pillars. Presumably these held torches burning pitch or something similar. Does anyone have more information on the sooty deposits? Am I correct in my supposition? Any ideas on who and dates? Eric Olson, Lymington.
Jane's got the third letter.
And this letter is from the Right Reverend Tim Dakin, the Bishop of Winchester. And he has shared his Christmas message for 2019, inviting people to donate to his Christmas appeal for the charity Yellow Door. Sir, Christmas can be a wonderful time of year for families and friends to gather and celebrate together. Sadly, for some families in this country, Christmas is not always a peaceful and happy time, but one of tension and conflict. The TV adverts present an image of Christmas as happiness for all, especially if we buy their products. Across our region, there are thousands of families experiencing hardship, including relationship breakdown. There are some excellent specialist organisations working in Hampshire and East Dorset, supporting families, children and individuals in our communities who are experiencing an unhappy and unsafe home environment. This year, I have nominated Yellow Door as my Christmas Appeal charity, a Southampton-based organisation providing prevention and support services for those at risk of domestic and sexual abuse. The dedicated staff and volunteer team provide an invaluable service to our local communities. Compassion for others is central to the life and teaching of Jesus. The birth of Jesus Christ shows God's great compassion and mercy towards all people. God gave his son Jesus to live amongst us. He experienced the joys and also the pain and suffering of human life. Through his death, he restores us to God and mends our broken relationships. We can all receive the joy of his forgiveness and the hope of new life and resurrection. Jesus himself was born from a line of broken people and dysfunctional families. Murderers, abusers and adulterers. Tamar was abused, Rahab was a prostitute, Ruth was a vulnerable foreign migrant, and Mary was a young unmarried mother. Yet Jesus Christ was still the greatest gift to earth. Jesus brought healing to his own ancestral family. He brought gifts of love and peace and the offer of true happiness in our relationships with God and one another. With every blessing, the Right Reverend Tim Dakin, the Bishop of Winchester, College Street, Winchester. And this is accompanied by a photograph of the bishop with all the team from the Yellow Door, which says preventing and responding to domestic and sexual abuse. And they're looking very hard worked but smiling happily to be receiving this wonderful gift.
Diana Kirby writes, move the market. Sir, is there not a compelling argument for relocating the annual Christmas market to an edge of city venue with shuttle buses, thus sparing residents of Winchester a month of congestion, overcrowding and traffic pollution? Diana Kirby, Nations Hill, Kingsworthy.
Karen Barrett writes about the Chronicle as a campaign paper. Sir, last week's letters questioning the Chronicle's impartiality were predictable, but in my view rather unfair. While it was unfortunate that the local media publisher's open letter to political leaders following the misappropriation of the Basingstoke Gazette's design by the Lib Dems coincided with the same party's pre-election advertising rap, the fact is most local newspapers are owned by commercial organisations, which depend on advertising revenue. In the main, local press do a pretty good job of covering relevant events, particularly relating to council decisions, planning matters and so on, in a reasonably non-partisan manner, despite staff cutbacks and the inevitable increased workload. The option of paying for the wrap, as has been pointed out, was available to all parties, assuming they had the necessary funds. In this particular case, I sincerely hope the public were not fooled into thinking the wrap had been produced by professional journalists or indicated a party political bias on behalf of the Chronicle. The Lib Dems presumably hoped a politically punch-drunk electorate could not tell the difference. The party put out 30 leaflets, but printing slogans in increasingly enormous fonts certainly did not make the message more credible nationwide. Neither did an endless stream of repetitive print material indicate concern for the environment, however many trees were promised in mitigation. Now the election is over, and speaking as a Labour Party campaigner, I would urge anyone really concerned about bias to focus their attention on our national press and media, controlled by a small and wealthy elite who have no interest in tackling climate change or reducing the obscene levels of poverty and social deprivation. This is where electoral battles are won and lost. Karen Barrett, Byron Avenue, Full Flood, Winchester.
And here, Councillor Kim Gottlieb has election mistakes, and he is a Lib Dem. Sir, there have already been enough postmortems to fill several series of silent witness, but more than anything, it was a fear of Corbyn that determined the outcome of the general election. The fear was well-founded. The tentacles of state control he and his Momentum cohorts advocated would have strangled the light out of economy and the opportunities we take for granted. Society would not have become fairer, and the poor would only have become poorer. I was personally affected by the bigotry he allowed it to become normalised, and I hope that his defeat will send that vile tendency back into the swamp from whence it came. Us Lib Dems have to acknowledge that our national party made strategic errors, particularly in its plan to revoke Article 50. Locally, the picture is far more reassuring. The hundreds of activists who worked so hard were well-led and well-organised, and they were driven not just by the cause, but by the excellence of our candidate, Paula Ferguson, who chalked up more votes, 27,445, than many MPs, including Johnson. How long Johnson's honeymoon will last is anyone's guess, but at least his sizeable majority will allow him to ignore the Conservative extreme right and be as accommodating towards Europe as is possible. The Lib Dems will rebuild, and they remain as relevant as ever in terms of their administration of the city and district, where there is still much to consider. In the end, the people spoke, but given that every Lib Dem MP cost 9 times as many votes as it took to elect a Conservative MP and 12 times as many for an SNP MP, the case for proportional representation as a way of restoring faith in politics has never been stronger. And that was from Councillor Kim A. Gottlieb, who was a Tory and is now a Lib Dem, City Councillor for St Michael Ward, East Stratton.
Keith Webb offers a different view. Sir, a lifetime Conservative, it was with some reluctance that I voted for Steve Brine to ensure that Boris Johnson could deliver Brexit. The Tory campaign in Winchester was so lacklustre that I do not think that Mr. Brine himself believed that he could retain his seat. The city was awash with Liberal Democrat posters. I saw hardly any blue Conservative ones, and no one asked me to do as I always do, put one up on my front garden fence. The final straw was seeing Steve Brine at the count, wearing a red tie, something 99% of us associate with the Labour Party. Steve Brine was kicked out of the party over his Brexit stance, and most fortunate to regain the whip so that he could stand here with Conservative Party backing. Many Tory Remainer rebels, not reinstated, stood as independents and lost their seats. Winchester deserves better, and it is to be hoped that Mr. Brine will be replaced soon with someone with more personality who really upholds Conservative values. My delight at the overwhelming Conservative win has been considerably enhanced, as today my ISA shareholdings have increased in value by over 7%, and the value of the pound against the euro has improved, ensuring that my next wine-buying trip to France will be much more worthwhile. Keith Webb, Quarry Road, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
And Betty Chadwick is thanking the Fusion Choir. And there's a picture of the Winchester Fusion Choir in performance. Lovely group of people in beautiful red uniforms, red cloaks and things, singing very heartily. Sir, the Winchester Fusion Choir performed their annual Christmas concert at St Peter's Church, Jury Street, on Friday, December the 3rd. It was a really happy, fun and musical evening. As a trustee of Winchester Go LD, formerly Winchester Mencap, I would like to extend my thanks to the Fusion Choir for their support. Winchester Go LD is one of 4 charities to benefit from the proceeds of this event. We are really touched by the generosity of all who contributed to the incredible raffle prizes. Based in the Discovery Centre, our charity provides help for adults with learning difficulties. This includes promoting independence and encouraging them to join groups in the local community. So it was lovely to see 2 of our members, Jane and Anna, singing with the choir on Friday evening. Betty Chadwick, King Alfred Place, Hyde, Winchester.
And Simon Lever's letter is about the future of the city. Sir, the article by Nicholas Craig Harvey and Richard Cotton was seriously realistic and addressed potential concerns such as commuter volume and environmental issues, chronicled December the 12th. One thing is clear, that any further delay will have a serious impact on the long-term economy of Winchester. Winchester's over-reliance on the public sector and catering must be enhanced by commercial and financial enterprises that would take on office space and thus enhance the general well-being of the city. Attracting high-quality jobs is essential for the future prosperity of our wonderful city. So far, £5 million in grants has been lost thanks to the lack of coordinated constructive discussion to resolve any particular issues. Station Approach and the Silver Hill have been delayed or cancelled because essentially one individual applied an alarming degree of power, costing Winchester dearly. Not just financially, but in job creation, credibility and trust. Time for all our parties to sit down and agree a way forward speedily. And that was from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
David Selby writes, wrong place. Sir, while I support the current objections to the building of a wheelabrator in a rural area near Barton Stacey, I have no objection to the concept in principle, but any such development should take into account carbon and pollution emissions. Therefore, I would suggest that the developer puts forward plans to scrub emissions from the burning of waste, and also to eliminate road transport as a means of supplying the waste, partly because the life of such a project will go beyond the deadline for eliminating vehicle emissions. If we are to rely more heavily on rail for transporting goods, surely a process such as this should be situated next to a railway line and have its own siding and equipment to empty full containers into its furnaces. I think our main problem is that our planning regulations have been overtaken by fast-moving events such as climate change, and also, closer to home, a shift in retail activity towards online purchasing. The young Swedish activist is right when she concluded that there are still many loopholes in current regulations that allow developers to continue to apply for permission under regulations that are now not fit for purpose. David Selby, West Hill Road North, South Wanston.
And this is a vote of thanks from Guy Ashton. Sir, on election day last week, two of us were sitting outside the polling station on Upper Brook Street in the torrential rain. As we asked voters for their polling card numbers so that our respective parties would know not to chase them up to vote later in the day, we were cold, wet, and frequently ignored and occasionally abused by voters. But then a charming resident, having seen us shivering under our brollies as she cast her vote, returned to the polling station and gave us both a hot coffee and a biscuit. Her generosity and thoughtfulness was a tremendous source of cheer. Whoever you were, thank you. Guy Ashton, Colebrook Street, Winchester.
And now a letter from our regular Phil Yates, Christmas Memories. Sir, walking down Winchester High Street recently, admiring the festive lights, my mind flashed back to those halcyon days of over 80 years ago when my parents took me to see Santa Claus in his grotto at Sheriff and Ward, now Debenhams. On approaching him, he said in a deep voice, "What do you want for Christmas, my boy?" I replied, "A Hornby train set, please." Knowing that this was beyond his budget, he said, "Well, dig down in my sack and see what you can find." Ploughing through a load of sawdust, I came up with a lead pig that would have been plastic today. At least that added to my farmyard collection. Crossing the street, I entered the London Bazaar, where to my surprise I witnessed a Hornbury train running around the tracks on a gigantic table. By the way, I did eventually get that Hornby train set. Today the gifts tend to be those of the computer age. However, may I wish all contributors to the letters pages and readers a joyous Christmas and a very happy New Year. And that was from Phil Yates, Tower Street, Winchester.
And that was the excuse me. And that was the last letter we have from our listeners. We'd like to thank everyone for all of their contributions. Now it's time for your say. Are you happy with the outcome of the general election? We asked people what they thought, and Heather has the answers.
Clive Sherman, aged 72, a retired ironworker of Wales Street, said, "Yes, I wanted Brexit done and I hate Liberals. Corbyn was not what we needed either." James Shelley, aged 25, a recruitment worker of Winnell Manor Road, said, "Well, I wasn't sure who to vote for. All options were as bad as each other. We'll see how this government goes." Jess Cinder, aged 58, a teacher of Longshot Road, Ossilbury, said, "I don't understand how the Conservatives got in. Who voted for them? Each to their own, though, I suppose." And David Knowles, aged 36, an IT manager of Southampton, said, "Well, that's how democracy works, even if I don't agree. I support getting Brexit done in the name of democracy. At least there's that."
We're going back through the mists of time now for historical news items from our files, and we'll start with 25 years ago, read by Noel.
Yes, two items from Friday, December the 16th, 1994. And the first one, delight was mixed with relief this week as nearly 2,000 jobs were safeguarded by the decision to keep Middle Wallop as the National Centre for Army Aviation Operational Training. Armed Forces Minister Nicholas Soames announced proposals to establish at Tri-Service Defence Helicopter Flying School at RAF Shawbury in Shropshire and to retain Middle Wallop in its existing role as HQ of the Army Air Corps. A recent Ministry of Defence consultative document sought views on the proposals, which locally will entail moving only the basic rotary wing training to RAF Shawbury from Middle Wallop and transferring aviation activities presently at Nether Avon to Wallop. The loss of one civilian post and 35 contract posts at Wallop and 19 military instructor posts, mostly to be redeployed to RAF Shawbury. The loss of 91 civilian and 91 contract posts at Nether Avon. George Blythe, Test Valley Borough's chief executive, said the council is very sorry that there will be some job losses at Wallop and more significantly at Nether Avon. But we are delighted and relieved that AAC Middle Wallop's future looks secure with its retention as the centre for Army Aviation Operational Training. And the second item, South Down's Children's Home at Old Alsford is to close, NCH Action for Children announced this week. A statement from Tom White, National Children's Home Chief Executive, said it was with considerable regret that the organisation had decided to phase out services. He explained the decision to stop providing residential care for children at South Downs follows a significant reduction in the number of children placed at the project by local authorities. Only 18 children remain in the home, making it impossible for the charity to provide an economic service. A spokeswoman for the charity made it clear that the closure was not immediate but many months ahead and dependent on what was agreed with the children. The boys and girls at South Downs are aged between 9 and 18 months. Most come from South Hampshire, Wiltshire and Surrey. They are placed in the care of a local authority and are then referred on to be accommodated at South Downs.
Jane's going to take us back 50 years.
And two little items from 50 years ago, which was Saturday, December the 20th, 1969. Hampshire's County Education Committee were attacked last week for their handling of school's reorganisation in Winchester. Speaking at the annual dinner of the Old Simonians Association, Mr. P.H. May described their actions as a flagrant denial of the democratic spirit. Mr. May, who was responding to a toast to the school and the association, recalled that they had been given only a very short time in which to present their views on reorganisation to the committee. The tragedy was, he declared, that these views were not really wanted. Whatever the education committee may say, the views of the people in Winchester were not really wanted. Decisions had already been made. Consultation, in the vocabulary of the committee, means telling people what they are going to do, he alleged. And the second item. Revised figures show that the cost of the running of Hampshire's fire service during the current year is likely to be over £43,000 greater than the original estimate. And next year, the figure is expected to increase by more than £100,000. Pay rises play a major role in the higher estimates, but generally speaking, the increases are spread over all aspects of expenditure. Details were presented on Wednesday to the members of the Hampshire Fire Services Committee and were explained in detail by Mr. G. R. Prentice, the deputy to the council treasurer. Commenting on the revised estimate for 1969-70, his report explained that the revised figure of gross expenditure for the year was £910,240 compared with the original figure of £829,000.
100 years. Over to you, Heather.
Two items from Saturday, December the 20th, 1919. Evensong at the cathedral is ordinarily at 4 o'clock, but on the occasion of the institution and installation of the venerable William Hutton, D.D., Dean Designate, on Thursday afternoon, it was altered to 2:30. The congregation filled the choir. The mayor and corporation attended in state and were accompanied by the recorder, the city coroner, the town clerk, and various officials. And the second item, Henry White, Esquire, City Coroner, held an inquest at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on Monday, touching the death of Mr. George Hugh Knight, postmaster of Winchester, who died under the sudden circumstances reported in our edition of last week. Jas Harder of Water Lane, assistant close constable, deposed that at 3:40 on the afternoon of Friday, he was at work near the cathedral when he saw the deceased fall to the ground.
Noel's going to take us back 200 years.
Yes, two brief items from Monday, December the 20th, 1819. The first one, the severity of the frost on the night of Friday last had the effect of freezing over the River Thames above Kew Bridge. And the second item, early on the morning on Thursday, two footpads attempted to stop a gentleman named Webb on Crooken Common, which he escaped by spurring on his horse. The villains, however, fired after him and dangerously wounded his side.
To the present now, because Jane's got Question and Answer, My Winchester.
And this week, Question and Answer is Carol Darby, fine jeweller and hatmaker, owner of Carol Darby Jewellery Limited in Little Minster Street. And she tells us what she thinks of the city. And there is a photograph of her wearing one of her special hats that she will have made. What is your favourite restaurant or cafe? Oh, the Old Vine, because it is consistently good. What is your favourite pub or bar? Well, again, it's the Old Vine. I can walk through the door of my shop and pretty much be there. Or I tell them to bring my drink over. I also like the Wickham Arm for meeting friends. What is your favourite shop? Well, Formay to buy gifts for me. What is your favourite building? The Cathedral. I have a friend in Oxfordshire who studies cathedrals and he comes to Winchester a lot because he loves it there. All the history is incredible. What is your favourite view? Standing at the top of the High Street, you can see nothing but green. And who or what is Winchester's biggest icon? Oh, me! I've been here so long. And what is Winchester's best kept secret? The Anthony Gormley statue in the cathedral crypt. I tell visitors about it and they say they never would have known otherwise. And what is the best thing about Winchester? It's small and you can walk everywhere. One minute you're in the city centre, the next you're in the water meadows. And the worst? Well, the worst thing has been addressed. It's the rubbish. I don't like it so much at this time of year as there are coachloads of people about and it's very busy. And if there was one thing you could change about Winchester, what would it be? Well, whatever it takes to stop losing small shops. Describe Winchester in a sentence. Well, somebody once described Winchester to me. From medieval times to present times, it reveals its secrets very slowly.
Heather's got the editorial comment.
Looking to the future and making changes. As 2019 is nearing an end, we are reminiscing on the year. With plenty taking place in Winchester and the district as a whole, there is much to talk about as we start our review of the year on pages 4 and 5, from Brexit to Britain's Got Talent. Many of us are probably already thinking about New Year's resolutions, but the City Council is looking much further forward to 2024 and 2030, as it is preparing to launch a carbon neutrality action plan. For some, this could see changes to their homes, with plans to invest in energy and water efficiency measures to its housing stock. However, for motorists, it could be rethinking how they get into the city, as civic chiefs discuss the axing of a number of car parking spaces in the centre and look at ways to get us using eco-friendly forms of transport. But will this come at a cost? Will it see visitors go elsewhere with easier access, or will we embrace it and help reduce the district's carbon footprint? Only time will tell. With this being our last edition of the Chronicle before Christmas, we would like to wish all our readers a Merry Christmas.
This week's first person is by George Hayter, and it's read by Noel.
And George Hayter says, Boris, tell me what to do. You're not a regular Chronicle reader, Prime Minister, so I'm lucky to have caught your attention with my four-weekly opinion column this time. Congratulations on winning the election. But what I really want to say to you, Boris, is that the country needs your strong leadership to get us out of a mess. No, not that mess. I know Brexit is important to you, but I'm talking about something a bit more serious than a few trade tariffs and the odd lorry queue. I want to focus your attention upon nothing less than the end of the world as we know it. The polar ice caps are melting, and our weather isn't what it used to be. Rising sea levels and expanding deserts are forcing people from their homes. Destructive weather is sabotaging agriculture, leading to food shortages and mass migration. The resulting instability threatens to inflame our predominantly peaceful world of the last 85 years with renewed territorial war. Scientists warn that our fragile planet is heading for a tipping point, when scorching will accelerate and become self-perpetuating and irreversible. An example, methane gas is being released into the atmosphere from thawing permafrost. Methane increases the greenhouse effect. More greenhouse effect brings more thawing. More thawing brings even more methane. More methane brings even more greenhouse effect, and so on, in an unstoppable cycle. As I say, the problem's a bit more pressing than Brexit. I'm too hooked on car and foreign flights to do much about my own carbon pollution. I ask myself, what's the point? One person reducing emissions will hardly make a difference. So what we need, Prime Minister, is something to force not just me into action, but me and everybody else in the UK. Boris, you can persuade everyone. The surest way to make UK citizens take the necessary action is for you to use tax. Lots of it. Heap tax onto petrol, diesel, aviation fuel, coal, gas, and even logs. Tax speaks louder than words. As well as encouraging me into terrestrial public transport, it would tempt me to install solar panels, fit triple glazing, move into a smaller house, and turn the thermostat down. If everyone in Britain reacted the same way, our inspiring national example would encourage other countries to do their bit. Most countries admire Britain. I admit that tax sucks cash from our pockets and puts a brake on economic activity, so my proposed tax on fossil fuels should be partly compensated by A, a cut in income tax, and B, an increase in benefits. Because we face a climate emergency, these two compensations should together be smaller than the new tax, to produce a net increase in money for the Exchequer. The Chancellor will be able to use that increased tax revenue to subsidise electric cars, public transport, wind turbines, tidal power, home insulation, solar farms, and all the other stuff we need to reduce global warming. Every plan has its snags. One tricky one is a 1944 international treaty that forbids governments to put tax on fuel for aeroplanes. Perhaps a per-mile tax on each passenger could be introduced instead. Meanwhile, Britain should campaign through the United Nations for repeal of the outdated 1944 treaty, formulated to stop countries exploiting airlines in the days when planes had propellers and needed to refuel en route. Poor countries feel the effect of warming more than Britain. Here in Hampshire, supermarket abundance masks us from distant farmlands turning to dust. In Winchester, the unfailing flow of the Itchen masks us from dry river and lake beds in tropical terrain. On the Hampshire coast, some of the world's most extreme tides mask us from the centimetre increases in sea level that will soon drive vulnerable Pacific Islanders from their homes. Tell us all what to do about it, Boris. Boss us with your humour and boss us with tax.
Jane's now going to read an alternative look at the news with Belgarum Diary.
And Belgarum has three items this week. The first one, Home Bakes Woofed Up. Trustees, volunteers and friends of Home Start Winchester cooked up a storm to raise funds for the family support charity before Christmas. The team hired a space in St Morris's Covert in Winchester's High Street and whisked up cakes by the dozen to tempt shoppers to buy, raising £370 in the process. Christmas cake and mince pies led the festive offering, but cakes of every size, shape and flavour were eagerly snapped up by the groaning tables, which were empty by lunchtime. The delicious Victoria sponges, lemon drizzles, shortbread, cookies, cupcakes, flapjacks, fruit and banana loaves, carrot cake and gingerbread would have put bake-off cooks to shame. One visitor who took the biscuit, arriving in his own pram, was a pampered pooch who eyed the goodies on display while his owner made their purchases. "We are always thinking of new ways to fundraise," said event organiser Chrissy Barlow, "and everyone has risen to the challenge. We can't thank our home bakers enough for giving so generously and to the public who gave donations as well as shopping for cakes. Christmas can be a particularly difficult time for families who are struggling to cope, and the funds we raise will go towards this year's Christmas party at Lantern's Nursery." And that one is accompanied by a photograph of a long table under St. Maurice's Covert, covered in cakes. I'm sure you're all rather reaching for the biscuit tin by now. But there is also a lovely little pram with a dog in it who has his head poking out, looking longingly at the cakes on the table. The second item, Narwhal asks MP. "A Winchester mother of one dressed up as a narwhal to ask Conservative MP Steve Brine how his party would compel major corporate polluters to stop undermining global climate goals. Kerry Sinclair of Otterbourne planned to ask Mr. Brine at the election hustings before the voters went to the polls, 'What will you do about oil and gas majors such as Shell, whose spending plans aren't consistent with holdings warming to 1.5 degrees and which back business groups working to kill off pro-climate policies in the UK and other countries, including Australia?' Her question, however, was not chosen during the event. In July, UK-based asset manager Saracen and Partners made public a letter it sent to Shell's board to say why it was dumping Shell shares, having failed after 2 years of talks to secure a commitment from Shell to comply with the Paris Agreement, which requires urgent and deep cuts in global greenhouse gas emissions. Its letter cited Shell's plan to spend over $28 billion each year over the next 5 years on expanding fossil fuel production. And that little article is accompanied by a photograph of Kerry in a white, furry, woolly narwhal costume, which actually looks slightly more like a unicorn, but never mind. And she has a big notice saying "Narwhal else to go," standing in front of a power station down near the sea. And the last one, aggressive carol singer. "It is that time of year when festive fun is aplenty and carol singers are out in force spreading joy. But police have issued a warning to the contrary. PCSO Sarah McCulloch of Meon Valley Police Station has issued an alert regarding carol singers that have been acting aggressively while out and about. PCSO McCulloch said, 'We are aware of a number of social media posts in relation to a young female carol singer who is with an older female acting aggressively or being over-familiar near to properties in the Meon Valley, Fareham, Hedge End and Eastleigh areas. We do not want to stop people enjoying the festive season, but if you do have any concerns, please do consider contacting Hampshire Constabulary via 101 or 999 in an emergency, or reporting online via hampshire.police.uk. It comes as the Meon Valley neighbourhood policing team have asked people to stay merry by staying safe when it comes to the Christmas party season.
Pick up time ends on Friday the 20th of December at 8:05 a.m, begins at 4 p.m. On Wednesday the 25th of December, Christmas Day, it ends at 8:08 a.m, begins at 4:02 p.m. If you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings of the Winchester Talking newspaper and the Winchester Talking magazine, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please telephone Mary Davis on 01962 711 998. Her contact details are on the tag attached to the memory stick. If there's a problem with your Sovereign player, please try plugging it in and recharging it before returning it as faulty. We're going to continue with items of general news, and we'll start with one read by Heather.
And this is about the dangers of flu. Flu advice. Hampshire residents are being urged to act fast to avoid festive flu. England's top doctors are urging people to protect themselves and their families over the coming week. It comes amid warnings that new cases may peak over Christmas. As flu levels rise, Public Health England has launched the Catch It, Bin It, Kill It campaign to prevent the spread of highly infectious disease. Residents are also advised to get their jab or nasal spray for children. The latest data from the Public Health England shows that GP consultations for flu-like illnesses have risen by 24%, that's virtually a quarter, in the last few weeks. It reports that flu can take its toll on anyone, but those aged over 65 or those who have underlying medical conditions are particularly vulnerable. So NHS National Medical Director Professor Stephen Powys said, "Our message is simple. The flu season's here. Get your jab now. It might be the difference between a Christmas to remember and one to forget."
No redundancies to be made, says Hospital Trust. The Trust, behind a shake-up of surgery services provided at Winchester Hospital, say that patients with broken bones will be able to be treated sooner. Changes to orthopaedics at Hampshire Hospital's Foundation Trust, which manages Royal Hampshire County Hospital, were implemented on December the 4th, and the organisation says it will be able to carry out emergency surgery 7 days a week. The changes mean that inpatient trauma operations no longer take place at Winchester. Instead, walk-in patients will travel over 20 miles to Basingstoke and North Hampshire Hospital for emergency surgery on broken bones. A spokesman said that this will mean fewer delays, quicker recovery, and improved outcomes for patients. The move is also expected to significantly reduce the number of patients whose planned operations are postponed due to emergencies, meaning shorter waiting times. As previously reported in the Chronicle, fears have already been raised by staff members regarding job losses and patient safety. Julie Mascari, Chief Operating Officer, said that in replacement of orthopaedics, a centre of excellence for hip and knee replacement surgeries will be developed at Winchester Hospital. She continued, "We took this decision after a careful review of the clinical evidence and in consultation with our frontline staff. All of the evidence suggests that it is the right thing to do for our patients. Patients who may need emergency surgery are taken directly to Basingstoke Hospital by ambulance. We also have a dedicated ambulance available to transfer patients who self-present at Winchester, so nobody will face an extended journey without full medical support. However, where it is assessed as safe, patients are able to make their own arrangements if they prefer." The Trust has also said that staff at both locations have been fully engaged and consulted throughout the process, with no redundancies being made as a result of the changes, despite concerns from those working on the unit.
And now, family gives thanks to hospital for saving son. A Hampshire couple are appealing for help to put together festive hampers to thank a Southampton hospital for saving their baby's life. George was born in January at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, but was diagnosed with two rare birth defects. George, from Sutton Scotney, has esophageal atresia, where the esophagus doesn't join the stomach and dead ends, and tracheal esophageal fistula, where the esophagus joins the lower part of the trachea. Without surgery, these could be fatal, as George wouldn't have been able to eat and stomach acid would pass into his lungs. He was rushed to Princess Anne's Neonatal Intensive Care Unit, the NICU, in Southampton that afternoon and had major surgery the following day to join his esophagus back together. He then spent 6 days in the NICU, sedated and paralysed, to ensure that the surgery healed. Then a further week stabilising, establishing feeding and gaining enough strength to come home. George's mum, Emma Vack, said, "It was all a complete shock for both Ben, his dad, and me. It was not the we've just had a baby journey we'd imagined, but the amazing staff at the NICU were not only there giving brilliant care to George, but also the much-needed support to us, answering questions, helping us to get to grips with George's condition, and being that shoulder to cry on when it all got a bit too much. Emma added, "We are forever grateful for everything that they have done for our family. We now know from experience how tough it can be in hospital when your baby is poorly. But to be in hospital on Christmas Day when most others are in their homes with their family and friends is that little bit harder. These hampers will hopefully give these parents a little bit of cheer on a special day. People are being asked to visit the hospital's Amazon wish list and order one or more of the items included. Items include the hampers, tins of biscuits, bottles of wine, and chocolate truffles." And this is accompanied by a lovely photo of a very happy-looking Emma cuddling baby George, who is fast asleep but smiling and looking very healthy. He has got various pipes coming out from all over, but he's looking comfortable and happy.
The council is to tackle carbon footprint. There's a photograph of councillors Martin Todd, Neil Cutler and, of course, of Lucille Thompson and look with plans in front of them. Everything the council does has to look at its carbon strategy and look at how we can reduce that carbon footprint, were the words of Winchester City Council leader, Councillor Lucille Thompson, as she laid out new plans for the authority ahead of its cabinet meeting on Monday. At the heart of its future work, the council is prioritising how it can become greener, and in the light of it, declaring a climate emergency in June, council bosses have produced a carbon neutrality action plan, which will stretch to 2030. Councillor Thompson said that the council is aiming to be carbon neutral by 2024 and the wider district by 2030, and it's begun working with wider organisations to make that happen. The council's teamed up with Hampshire County Council, with the university and residents in a bid to achieve those targets. In the updated local plan at the moment, we are looking at ways we might be able to leverage lower carbon developments, and we should be able to do that by 2021. The authority has looked at ways it can reduce its own carbon footprint by investing in renewable energy sources such as wind power and installing solar within its buildings. But Civic Cheeks are also focusing on the wider district and have detailed a full set of actions it is proposing to take. It plans to develop an authority-led passive house housing scheme in Mitchell Dever by 2021 and invest an additional £1 million per annum on energy and water efficiency measures to its housing stock. £80,000 has also been allocated for project feasibility research, which will look at ways the council and the district as a whole district can reduce its footprint, with Councillor Thompson saying, "We need a bit of money to work some of these things up properly." The strategy comes after the Liberal Democrats took charge of the council in May, with a manifesto prioritising the environment, and Councillor Thompson said it was now time to deliver those targets. The strategy will be put before cabinet members on Monday.
Landowners urge public not to break law at Christmas. With thousands of people expected to visit the Hampshire countryside this festive season, the public is being urged not to commit countryside crimes. CLA South East, which represents landowners and farmers across Kent, Surrey, Sussex, Hampshire, the Isle of Wight, Berkshire, Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire, is urging the public to stick to footpaths, bridleways and respect other users of the rights of way. The organisation said that the spirit of the countryside code is generally adhered to by the majority of people, but there are a few worrying trends that are either based on antisocial behaviour or a lack of awareness of the working countryside. Common problems including littering, fly-tipping and mismanaging dogs. Accessing the fresh air and getting close to nature have widely researched health and well-being benefits, but visitors and dog owners are urged to act responsibly when walking off their Christmas dinners. Megan Locke, rural advisor at CLA South East, said, "There's nothing better than burning off all that festive food by getting out and about in our wonderful countryside. But there are a few things to be aware of. Livestock worrying by dogs is not not adequately controlled by their owners is on the increase. Landowners welcome visitors to share the beauty of our countryside, but please don't stray from the footpaths and bridleways. Leave gates how you find them, take rubbish home, and keep dogs under control. Following the countryside code and using common sense and courtesy is the least we can do as an unspoken thank you to the custodians of our rural landscape. Christmas is also a time when many people are making space in their garages and homes for new things, but the old items need to be disposed of properly. Either use household recycling centres or employ licensed waste carriers to take unwanted items away.
And this rather worrying item is M27 drivers face 55-mile diversion for roadworks. Here we go again. Highway chiefs have been accused of risking a repeat of the traffic chaos which hit the area when part of the M27 was closed last year as part of a £19 million bridge replacement project. Drivers will be told to take a 55-mile detour when the motorway shuts again next month to enable engineers to complete the scheme. Motorists heading west on the M27 will have to join the M3 and travel via Winchester, Andover and Salisbury before finally rejoining the motorway at Our. The same diversion was used during a similar weekend closure in September 2018. Parts of Southampton were paralysed as drivers cut through the city to avoid the huge detour, which turned what was normally a short drive into a two-hour loop round Hampshire. Highway bosses were urged to rethink the diversion after areas of the city were brought to a standstill. During a second M27 closure earlier this year, westbound traffic only had to travel as far north as Winchester before doubling back via Romsey. Highways England described the new routes as the best possible arrangement. Long tailbacks built up in the parts of the Southampton area, but the operation is generally regarded as having been much more successful than the first. However, Highways England has reverted to the original diversion for the third and final closure, which will take place between 10 p.m. on Friday, January the 10th, and 5 a.m. on January the 13th. The M27, used by 140,000 vehicles a day, will once again be shut in both directions between junctions 3 and 4. The long detour has sparked fears that many of the drivers heading up the M27 from the Fareham area will cut through Southampton and Totten, clogging up the roads. People living near routes, such as the A27, could see a huge increase in traffic unless motorists stick to the official detour. Drivers heading down the M3 from the Basingstoke area will have to leave the motorway near East Stratton and take the A303 to Andover. Eastbound traffic will have to leave the M27 at Ower and go through Romsey before joining the M3 near Winchester, a much shorter journey than the one faced by people travelling west. A Highways England spokesman said, "We will be reverting to the diversion routes that were in operation during the first week closure in September 2018. We have selected diversion routes which disperse the westbound traffic as much as possible, make the best use of Highways England's network and avoid residential areas wherever possible." But campaigners have condemned the decision to use the same route which caused problems last year. Hampshire County Councillor David Harrison, who represents Totten, said, "I cannot imagine many motorists taking a long detour north to get round the closure. More likely, they'll divert towards Southampton and Totten. This has the potential for making things much more congested than usual." An AA spokesman added, "Inevitably, in the age of sat-nav, drivers will look for alternative routes." A city council spokesperson said, "The authority would do what it could do to minimalise the impact of the closure by warning people about potential disruption and ensuring there are no roadworks on the diversion route." Engineers have spent months replacing the Romsey Road Bridge, which carries the A3057 over the M27 near Chilworth. The first motorway closure enabled contractors to start demolishing the original bridge, built in the 1970s, and nearing the end of its life. The M27 was closed again 6 months while the bridge's pre-built replacement was moved into position. And just in case you were hoping to be taken somewhere that weekend of January the 11th and 12th, a reminder that the M27 between, there is a map here enclosed, at the M27 between junctions 3 and 4 will be completely closed. And if you are going from Southampton to junction 4 to the other side of the city heading west, you will have to go up to Winchester, up to the A303, along to Andover, along to Amesbury, down to Salisbury, and back down to West Wellow before you can rejoin the M27. So a weekend to avoid if possible.
Rotary given music experience after donation. And there's a photograph under this headline of three decorated Christmas trees, and in front are sitting Becky Reed holding some bright, a very bright bell thing with lots of different coloured bells on it. Sue Herdman clutching two other musical instruments, one's bright purple, one's yellow, and Mike Billington, who is the president of Rotary, wearing his chain of office. The president of Winchester Rotary was given an insight into music therapy and how it can help young children with complex special needs. Mike Billington visited Lanterns Nursery on December the 12th after the Rotary had made a significant donation to Key Changes, the Winchester-based charity which provides music therapy services, to fund their service to the school through to the summer break in 2020. That's for two whole terms. During the visit, Mike met with Sue Herdman, inclusion manager, Susanna Whetston, music therapist, and Becky Reed, coordinator of Key Changes. Sue said, "Music therapy provides a motivating way in for children who have difficulty with communications and social skills. The school has seen it make a huge difference, giving children confidence and an incentive to interact." And afterwards, one of the youngsters demonstrated how some of the toys, which all make musical noises, work.
Dental bus to bring oral health to city homeless. One of Winchester's largest companies has brought smiles back to the city's homeless by providing vital funds through 2020 for their dental care. Simply Health, which has offices in Winchester and Andover, has contributed £6,240 through its local community impact fund for a mobile dental bus operated by the charity DentAid. The bus visits Trinity Winchester monthly and provides dental care for homeless people. Catherine Rutland, clinical director at Simply Health, said regular dental visits and a good brushing routine are important for maintaining good oral health and reducing the risk of tooth decay. We know that more studies are increasingly finding links between oral health and common conditions, including heart disease, dementia, and diabetes. People who are homeless will find maintaining good oral health difficult, which can lead to dental problems. By providing the opportunity through DentAid for both immediate dental care and subsequent follow-up appointments and monitoring, we can help overall well-being of homeless patients. Sue McKenna, Chief Executive at Trinity Winchester, said, "Giving someone their smile back builds confidence."
And now, Panto Car spread joy and happiness. Children and young people at a Sutton Scotney hospice were treated to a magical visit and rendition of this year's Panto. Stars of Dick Whittington at the Theatre Royal Winchester said a festive hello to those at Naomi House and Jack's Place. They arrived dressed in full costumes and entertained everyone with interactive Christmas songs, while children, nurses and carers joined in with a variety of instruments. The cast members who made the trip from the local theatre included Fairy Bow Bells, Whittington's Cat and Alderman. Together they sang classic Christmas songs, told children and young adults all about their show and showed everybody how to use a magic fairy wand. During the visit, they introduced themselves to the children and the young people there and told them about the story of Dick Whittington, a man who seeks his fame and fortune in a London ravaged by the sinister King Rat. Head of marketing at Naomi House and Jack's Place, Keith Wilson, said, "Christmas time at Naomi House and Jack's Place is always a magical time, and we try and plan lots of festive activities for the children, young adults and their families to enjoy during their stay. The cast from Dick Whittington were absolutely fantastic, generous with their time and made lots of short lives sparkle this Christmas. We hope to see them again next year." And Kirsty Matheson, Marketing and Communications Director at Play to the Crowd, added, "There were lots of smiles and laughter. It was a great privilege to go to the hospice, to meet everyone there, and to witness the quite extraordinary work that the staff do, too." And this is accompanied by a delightful photograph. Quite clearly, that is Fairy Bow Bells with the magic star. It doesn't quite show what it does. And also a Whittington's cat in full costume and full face makeup. And a lovely young girl with her baby sister, who is the one who I think is probably in the hospice, looking very happy to be with the actors.
The muddy path that no one seems to own. And there's a photograph of a lot of mud. A muddy path, being called a health hazard by residents, has not been cleared for 2 years because nobody knows who owns the land. The path, which stretches between Ivy Close and the railway bridge in Badger Farm, is currently covered in mud due to a blocked drain. But one nearby resident who wishes to remain anonymous has been in touch with the City Council, the Parish Council, Hampshire County Council and Network Rail, but is still not sure who is responsible for the path. The resident who lives in Ivy Close said, "The mud dries out when there's better weather, but that's not the point. Residents have put down wooden planks to make it safe to walk over. The bridge connects with Mead Road, and a lot of people use it to access the field to walk their dogs." First, the resident emailed Winchester City Council, who referred them to the County Council, who said to speak to Badger Farm Parish Council. Badger Farm Parish Council's clerk said, "The council do not know who owns it, but that the problem had been going on for some years." The resident then contacted Network Rail, which originally denied ownership of the land, but has since said the drainage issue will be looked into. "I've thought to go there with a shovel myself, but it's not my responsibility. There needs to be a permanent solution. Is very frustrating," added the resident.
Care homes treats for children. A Winchester care home has been helping youngsters to tuck into Yuletide treats. St Catherine's View has been working with the Chocolate Elf Project, and it's the first Colton care home to support the Hampshire-based initiative. Excuse me. Clinical lead Hayley Geddes said the Chocolate Elf scheme collects chocolate, advent calendars and selection boxes so they can deliver them to children in need, women's refugees and the homeless in Hampshire in time for Christmas. The project aims to have had an advent calendar for every child to open on December the 1st and a selection box to enjoy on Christmas Day. Hayley said, "St Catherine's View has a drop-off point and we were delighted by the response. We were helped by the local community, friends and family. We managed to collect an incredible 214 advent calendars and 147 selection boxes, most of which seem to be in this photograph, which shows several people from care homes and one or two, obviously, I think Hayley Geddes is there on the left, and several other people who are holding advent calendars and a whole huge pile of boxes of chocolates are in front of them."
Here we have Charity Pays Vet Bills for Homeless Dogs. A national charity has come forward to support a family of dogs left homeless after a fire destroyed their Hampshire home. The RSPCA has paid emergency treatment and overnight hospital fees for 7 Newfoundland dogs. It has also paid for their vet and nurse fees following the blaze in Lee Road in Chandler's Ford. Monty, Celeste, Blue, Remy, Woody, Swift and Rafferty were all saved from the fire which broke out at the bungalow they lived in on Sunday. Blue was given emergency treatment after suffering burns to 40% of his body. He ate for the first time on Tuesday last week, while the other surviving dogs are now fine and being cared for in boarding. Sadly, Swift had to be put to sleep. She had been receiving care before the fire, and her owner, David Lamb, made the decision upon veterinary advice. Firefighters who tackled the huge blaze called in RSPCA officers after discovering the dogs inside the property. RSPCA Inspector Hannah Nixon rushed to the scene to assist. Hannah said, "When I arrived, a black Newfoundland dog was lying down with burns to the face. We dismantled a kennel and lifted the dog in with help from the fire crew. We then rushed her to a vet who gave the dogs pain relief before being transported and taken for veterinary care. I was joined by two RSPCA inspectors, a vet and a vet nurse, who we had called to help us at the scene." And this is accompanied by a lovely picture of four very long-haired, fluffy Newfoundland dogs in their rescue. Three of them are all black and one of them is brown. And one of them in particular is looking up very optimistically that perhaps he's going to get a snack any moment.
Meeting with a difference, with game show on the agenda. Winchester Go LD celebrated their AGM with a game show hosted by adults with learning disabilities. Two panels of contestants, the dogs and the cows, raced to identify moments of achievement and funny stories from Go LD's year. Chairman of Trustees Kevin Stevens said, "We were delighted that the mayor joined the game show and the audience were thrilled she was on the winning side." Mayor Councillor Eleanor Bell said, "It was lovely to attend an AGM with so much laughter. Go LD are an exclusive group of people who are committed to helping ensure that people with learning disabilities have the same rights, opportunities and quality of life as everyone else." To the audience of 60 members, parents and supporters at the Discovery Centre, Kevin outlined his vision for the future. Approximately 2.1% of adults in the UK are believed to have a learning disability. So for the Winchester district, that could mean there are as many as 1,900 adults with learning disabilities. We desperately want to reach out to those adults and their families who may need extra support, friendship and advice. I know through my own experiences with my son, Teddy, that negotiating the benefit and support system can be a huge ordeal. And our concern is for someone who does not have family or someone to help. Many of our members are not known to the local authority or do not qualify for support, so there is no one to help. When they're suddenly cut off from any income due to a change in system or overlooking an important letter, the contribution GoLD staff can make is invaluable. It is these one-offs and the added extras that make our work life-changing.
Outperforming peers. Hampshire's children have again outperformed their peers nationally in their end of primary school assessments, according to latest results. Finalised Key Stage 2 results released by the Department for Education show that a higher percentage of the county's children have met the expected standards compared to their peers nationally. Hampshire County Council's Executive Member for Education and Skills, Councillor Roz Chadd, said, "Pupils have worked hard to achieve these outcomes and I would like to congratulate them for their achievements. I would also like to thank the school leaders, teachers and wider staff teams who have worked tirelessly to ensure pupils have access to high standards of teaching and learning. Thanks must also go to the county's school improvement team for the good work they have again undertaken this year to support schools with providing high quality education." The results of assessments taken by children in their final year of primary school in May 2019 show that Hampshire pupils attain better than the national average in every subject tested. Overall, 68% of Hampshire's primary school children met the required standards for reading, writing and mathematics, combined, compared with 65% nationally.
And here we have a Christmas message from the Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, Dean of Winchester. In these short, dark days, we decorate and light up our homes with Christmas trees and lights. We ward off the darkness with colour and Christmas cheer. Our churches and cathedrals, too, are full of light, preparation and wonder, because once again we're listening to the story of the birth of Christ told in Scripture and carols. This is a time of significant change. We've had a general election and at times we've been divided and fractious. Friends and families have fallen out. We face change and not a little uncertainty. At times like this, it's really good to put differences to one side and to get together around what really matters. At Christmas, we gather around a newborn child in a manger. This child shows us the mystery and wonder of a new life, the value of every human child, regardless of race or religion. For Christians, this child tells us a deep and timeless truth that God of all creation loves us and wants to be with us. God is born as a baby to light up the world with love and hope. In these days, I hope that your hearts will be touched afresh with this love, and may God bless you this Christmas and light up your life with his love and hope now and always.
Now we're going to look at an Advent calendar with a difference. There's a lovely bright photograph of 25 children from Swanmore Methodist Junior Church celebrating Advent Sunday with a craft morning. Some of them are wearing lovely silver cardboard crowns and they're standing in front of a wall made of cardboard boxes. And that's the Advent calendar. There's a Christmas bit on the front, one for each day, and inside are Christmas crafts and the things that relate to the Christmas story. The children made some of the craft items themselves. The congregation and the parents joined them to open this display calendar. It really looks a wonderful occasion.
I'm afraid that concludes the extracts for the week ending the 20th December and also for the extracts ending 2019. Thank you to our editors, Sonia Phillips, Jane Pickard and Sheila Shepherd. Thanks to our copying and dispatch and memory stick preparation teams. And thank you to Lieutenant Colonel Nicholas Grace Retired, who was the Principal Director of Music for Her Majesty's Royal Marines and gave us special permission to use the music used in this edition, which is from the CD A Christmas Gift, played by the Band of Her Majesty's Royal Marines Portsmouth under the direction of Major P.A. Watson. And of course, thanks to our readers, Heather Thorpe Tracy.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Goodbye, Happy Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And Jane Harding.
And goodbye and a very Happy Christmas and hope that 2020 is happy and healthy.
And from me, Roy Faithful, goodbye for now and I hope you have an enjoyable festive season ahead. When you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet. Please place the correct address label on the front of the wallet too and return the wallet as soon as possible. Thank you for listening during 2019. We'll be back in a new year and we'll finish with We Wish You a Merry Christmas from Her Majesty's Royal Marines Portsmouth. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.